Today, my title of my sermon is Revealed in the Flesh. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, the third chapter, 3:16. That's a common little number in the Bible. Seems to come up often. I want to think, I was thinking, you know, my wife, she hums all the time. And she rocks. And that's when she's happy. She's humming and rocking. And I can hum, when I listen to her hum all the time, and she's humming a lot of Christmas carols. And we sing things of deliverance. We sing things that fill our hearts with hope. And at Christmas, we probably start. Do you like a certain Christmas carol? You sing it all the time, maybe. I don't know. I'm like that. This year it's been Be Born in Me. You'll hear that sing way better than I hum it from Jessica here tomorrow night. But those are songs of deliverance. And we sing them sometimes at the most difficult times in our life. Singing is a big, big thing for us, especially in our home. I remember during a Christmas season, as a policeman, things are difficult sometimes at Christmas. It's Christmas, so you think things should go right, and they don't. And I remember I went down to Moana on a family fight. And I got there, and I walked into the living room of a mobile home. And there sat a 5-year-old girl like this. And then my partner was already there, and she went like this. Pointed back to the back room. I said, "Thank you." And I went back there, and what it was is this little girl and her mom lived there, and she invited this boyfriend in, and this boyfriend beat her mom up. And she was beat up, and it was bad, and it looked like it had been going on a long time. And I finally said, "Man, you're going to jail, dude. We don't have any credence here. You got to go to jail. The law says so." And I hooked him up, and I began to hear her sing out on the front room. And I came out there, and she was singing loud, and she was jumping on the couch like this, doing this. She was singing. She was singing a song of deliverance. You know what she was singing? Bad boy, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? And she was happy. It was a song of deliverance. And I stopped and we watched with my suspect. He needed to get the full force of judgment in his life. But we sing songs of deliverance. Christmas is a wonderful time of deliverance. I'm so glad you sang that song, Faith and Scott. I appreciate it. Christmas means something. It means something to the world. Christ is real and we know it. And isn't that wonderful? And we see it in areas of our life. And some people go, "No, Jesus doesn't mean anything." I'm here to tell you, we have too much evidence to say the very opposite. I was looking up historical things. I love history. And 104 years ago, in 2 days, Christmas Day, in 1914, during World War I, in the area of Belgium, there was a great trench warfare between the Germans and the French and the British. And it was Christmas Day, and there's no man's land in between. I mean, that's where you die if you go in there. And as they were fighting, a lull started. It's Christmas, and the Germans began to sing Silent Night. And they couldn't be outdone, so the British started singing Angels We Have Heard on High, or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And someone put up a white flag, and a truce was called, and men from both sides poured out into no man's land as they shook hands, shared a cigarette, a little something to drink, probably whiskey, talked to one another, played a little pickup game of soccer. And then it was a truce of the not the officers, but the trenchmen. I mean, just the privates. And finally, the officers called back from each side, come on back, we got to get back to fighting. And they all went their ways, waved. Do you see the power of Christ in the middle of a world war can stop it? And enemies come out and shake hands. Don't tell me that Jesus isn't real. Most of you weren't alive then. I had a maybe in last service. But in 1968, I was alive. I was 3 years old. On Christmas Eve, tomorrow, 50 years ago tomorrow, Apollo 8 had reached the moon. And they were circling it. And they were the first people. Borman, Anders, and Lavelle, three astronauts, went around the moon, saw the dark side of the moon, first human to ever see it. And they were circling it, and on Christmas Eve, on their ninth trip around, they went televised. We had television in 68. It wasn't color. It was black and white. Some of you watched it because they said in the world, it was the most watched event in history of 1 billion people watched it. Some were in buildings with one TV about that big back then. And what did they do? All three of them read out of Genesis 1 to the whole world. And then they said, Merry Christmas and God bless the good earth. For we have seen the moon and it's not good. But we're looking towards home and we see it. And they got to see the sunrise over the moon and see earth in the distance. And they knew there was a God in heaven. And they wanted to share it with the world. Church, when Christmas comes around every time, I'm always amazed at the miracle of Christ coming and being revealed in the flesh. We must get this or you're going to miss Christmas. In 2 days, if you don't get this, you're going to open your gifts and go, wow, that's great, good, let's watch some football. You're going to miss the best part of what Christmas is. And maybe if you're missing it, it's because you don't have it. That would be my greatest fear today, that someone would walk out of here not understanding what Christmas is. But baby Jesus came and he was revealed in the flesh. He came like us. I'm all over again amazed at such a grand mystery of the incarnation. That's the religious word of God becoming flesh. And I think it was the Apostle Paul is saying here through this scripture is that the Holy Spirit, it's a great mystery, this mystery of godliness. A mystery is something that Paul would say, we would think of a mystery as a murder mystery or something, but Paul would say a mystery is an Old Testament mystery revealed by Christ in the New Testament. They've been wondering for centuries, and it's been fulfilled. And that's what happened here. Great is the mystery of godliness. Would you stand with me as we read 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up to glory. Lord, thank you for your word. It is a short synopsis of Christmas and the whole life of godliness. Oh Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Would you open our hearts today? Would you touch us here on this almost Christmas day, just 2 days from Christmas? Lord, would you show us what a grand, incredible, miraculous thing happened on that Christmas day when Jesus was born? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heaven is a mystery. The incarnation's a mystery. The virgin birth's a mystery. It's a mystery of why I was chosen and my next door neighbor wasn't. It's a mystery of so many things in the Bible I do not understand. And that's how life's going to be for everything. You don't understand everything about your car, but you hop in it and drive 80 miles an hour, some of you, all the way down the freeway. We do this without, and I'm here to tell you that you will never, ever, ever understand the mysteries of the gospel, but God is going to call you to make a decision about it. You're going to have to come to a place where you go, you know what? I don't know it all, but I know enough. And I'm here to tell you, I need to flee to Jesus. He's been revealed in the flesh. I liked Mark Twain's comment when a man came up to him and said, "What, doesn't it bother you all the things that you don't know about the Bible?" He goes, "Not nearly enough as the stuff I do know. Those bother me." The truths of the gospel penetrate our hearts. And so as we walk down this, I want you to know that God's going to call you to a decision. And you're going to have to come to Christ like a child, or you can't have him at all. And how does a child come? He comes with not knowing everything, and he just trusts. Because you're not going to know everything. You're not going to know everything about evolution. You're not going to know about everything. But it's all by faith, or you will die in your sins. Evolution is a lie made up by ungodly men. And so, I want you to know that it's decision time. I hope you make the decision for Christ. It'll mean your eternity. And so the first thing it says here, he was revealed in the flesh. This is a mystery. He was revealed in the flesh. They did not know how the Messiah was going to come. They couldn't figure it out. Though if they'd have read the Bible, they'd have seen so many prophecies that said that. And so here at the Christmas story is at Bethlehem. Here, he was revealed in the flesh. It is God being manifested in the flesh. It is the most extraordinary doctrine in the human hearing. Is Jesus coming to flesh. It is a mystery that the infinite has become an infant. The eternal has blended with mortality. And one point I would like to make here is how great an honor has been bestowed on mankind that God of heaven would come and take a position on earth in our form. We are most blessed. We are the object of His grace. We are the object of His love. And it's for those that will respond to it. Otherwise, it'll be an object of wrath. He could have come in so many different forms. God can do anything He wants. He could save us any way He wished. But He came like us. He could have come in majestic splendor. He could have fallen out of earth. Fallen from heaven onto earth in an incredible way. A power of a seraphim, winged angel. One of the sons of fire. A chief among heaven's creatures. He could have done that, but he didn't. He came in the form of a creature of his own liking. One of the seeds of Abraham. He came, as John Edwards would say, a worm like us. He came a rebellious child of the earth. He came in our form. He chose that. And human nature has become one of the things of divine. This is an amazing event. We were so far from God. And God looked so terrible to us. He was so holy, and we could not approach Him. And all of the religious life in the temple at that time was very fearful and bloody. And they approached it in fear, and they hung bells on their priest and put a rope on them to go in the Holy of Holies. It was scary business. We were so far, but yet when Christ came, He made God look so wonderful and so close. And for God, He looked at human beings as wonderful again. He bridged the gap when He became flesh. This is a mystery. Of course, the question is, why? Why would He reveal Himself in the flesh of a man? Well, this is the great part of a Christmas story. Number one, because He loves you and He loves me, and it is an act of His own free grace. And there's another 3:16, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, trusts in Him, lays their life with Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the love of Christ is why he came. Not only that, he took on flesh so he could take on our sins. He came like us under the law and lived a perfect life. You can do that when you're the God-man. You can't do that when we're like us. He wasn't sin, but he took it on for us. He was, as the Bible would say, was made a curse for us. God poured our sins on him and he died for us. If we'll turn to him, he'll forgive you of your sins. That's why he came. Lastly, Christ took on flesh to take away the wrath of God on us. Did you know the wrath of God is angry with the wicked every day? There's a wrath. There's this big gap. And Jesus is the only one that brings. And he did it by coming in the flesh and dying on the cross for us. There's a purpose. The Holy Spirit always connects the manger with Calvary. And so he comes. And he's our, as John would say, our propitiation. What a big word. I didn't know what that word meant till I went to college. Propitiation is the easing of the wrath of God. In my life, it was my mother. When I messed up and my dad was upset with me, and he's a gentleman, don't think he was like, I ran around the house and he was chasing me with a big stick or something. It wasn't that way. But when you got a spanking from my dad, he said, a spanking ain't nothing unless it hurts. And it hurt. But my mom, every once in a while, would say, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Would you talk to Dad? And she would go and ease the wrath of my father so well. Something I couldn't do. He wouldn't listen to me. My excuses didn't work. But my mom would ease his wrath. Say, okay. But next time, I'm like, whew. You know what Jesus does for you? He goes to the Father and said, no. I died for him. He's ours, Father. He's one of us. And it completely eased the... And now he loves you like he loves his son. And he punished his son like you were the one who did it. Whew. This is revealed in the flesh. This is why. Well, he was not only that. He was vindicated in the Spirit. Now, your Bible might say justified in the Spirit. It's the same thing. We see this in Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. This is a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit justifies everything in the life of Christ. From his birth, his conception, the angels show up and the Holy Spirit is there at his birth. The Holy Spirit is there at his baptism. It's like a dove comes down and the Father speaks. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We see the Holy Spirit the most at his resurrection, who raises him from the dead by the Spirit of God. And also, when he's taken up, we see the Holy Spirit's always there. And he's vindicated. He's there. I love how the Holy Spirit convicts us and moves on us. There's not another more powerful thing to change a wicked old man or woman into a saint than the Holy Spirit. I got a call yesterday from an old Reno police buddy of mine, Bob Evans. He's not that old. He's my age. That's not old, is it? And he goes, Mark, man, my dad's in the hospital. I said, well, do you want me to come and visit him? Yes. Would you come and visit him? I said, sure. I know Mr. Evans. He's 92 years old. Mr. Evans was a gunman's mate on a destroyer in WW2. I mean, he's one of the few World War veterans I even know anymore alive. And so I went down to St. Mary's last night, yesterday afternoon, and walked in there, and Bob knew I was there to talk to him about the Lord. And so when I got there, the whole family left. He told them all to leave so I could talk to Mr. Evans. And so I've been hunting with Mr. Evans. I took him to Montana in 1990. Got to know him really well. And I said, the one thing I asked, so if you're ever in the hospital and it's not looking good, this is what I'm going to ask you, so get ready. Are you ready to meet the Lord? That's the answer. Everybody says yes. That's the right answer. But I have a follow-up question, so get ready. I said, can I ask you a personal question, if that wasn't personal enough? What makes you think you're ready to meet the Lord? Because I've gotten a lot of answers after that. Mr. Evans looked at me. What makes me think? Let me tell you, while I know I'm ready to meet the Lord, because years ago I repented of my sins and I turned to Jesus Christ who died in my place. That's why, Mark, I'm ready. And I want you to preach my funeral. I said, well, can I have your permission to preach the gospel? No, you don't need my permission to preach the gospel. Now, that's the kind of guy I want to visit in the hospital. I'm like, amen, amen. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit gets someone ready to meet the Lord like that. He was vindicated in the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is powerful. And I've seen Him do miracles and mysteries in this very house. On Sundays, on a day just like this, I've seen it. I've not seen anybody raised from the dead yet. Joe Crawford's a close call. I was close. I had a guy with a heart attack. I saw that guy breathe two breaths after we shocked him. But I tell you what I have seen. I've seen people in their dead lives get born again. Right here. And I was one of them. I've seen drug addicts and drunks become disciples of Jesus Christ in this house. I've seen fornicators come to be followers of Christ. Man alive, I've seen the selfish get sold out for Jesus. I've seen the lost saved. I've seen people in darkness come to the light by the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us today, right now. Yes, He was revealed in the flesh, and He was justified in the Spirit, and it still is today. It's just as powerful as it was then. Not only that, He was beheld by angels. The Bible says He was seen by angels. That's a mystery. Not only that, He was seen by not just good angels, but demonic angels. And all of them obeyed Him. And so when the Bible says He was beheld by angels, it really, the best Greek is, they were gazing at Him like this. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it. Call the angels in. Look at, Jesus is a baby. I can't believe it. They're in awe. They're amazed at the incarnation. Because they saw Him in heaven, an incredible, glorious Savior, and now He's covered in flesh, and nobody knows about it. That's why the heavenly host bursted out on the hills of Bethlehem. They beheld Him. Wow! Why don't we have this feeling about Him? It takes faith. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, they said. And on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. Hey, this is for you and for me. And so angels were present at many occasions of our Savior. His life on earth, from His birth to His temptation to His resurrection. And we read that even now we speak, they stand over the mercy seat in heaven with outstretched wings to cover their face, to cover their feet, and two they fly with, and they say, holy is the Lamb that was slain. Another creatures fly around and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is the angels that beheld Him. Well, there's a lot of things that's happened on this earth. But angels didn't attend them. They attended this because it was so amazing. You know, many men think the gospel is nothing. It's foolishness. And to the lost, it is foolishness. I speak to some of my friends, my neighbors, acquaintances, visitors from our church, and when I speak about Jesus, it's if I'm speaking about Santa Claus. Wow, that's a great thing that you believe. Isn't that wonderful? But the angels are not like this. The angels are so impressed with the gospel. They can't believe that their God left heaven and came to earth in the form of sinful flesh when we were at our worst, when we looked the worst. Christ died for us. They're amazed at it all the time. What really stirs up the angels in heaven? Jesus tells us, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You want to get heaven all stirred up? Turn to Jesus and repent. Because they look down and say, wow, he doesn't know it, but he just stepped on the path. We're going to see him. He's going to be here with us. That's what goes on behind the curtain of your life when you come to Christ. I think the angels are jealous of us. I think they go, wow, he wouldn't do this for us. He did it for them. They're so, so blessed. And they don't take it. Oh God, why don't they take it? Well, number four, a mystery proclaimed among the nations. Maybe a better translation is preached to the Gentiles. That's those that are far away. The mystery goes from those that are nearest to God, angels, to, here's a mystery, foreigners get to come to Jesus. That's amazing. This is indeed a mystery that we just spoke of those that are closest, and now let's talk about the ones that are farthest away. We're going to talk about us. That's who we're going to talk about. It's a great mystery that the gospel has come to us. It has survived the centuries of violent attack to rest within our hearts this day. We have heard the gospel preached and it has come into our hearts and we have been redeemed. Just how far away were we? Ephesians 2 tells us, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but God in Christ Jesus, who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That is how the mystery worked. You were brought near. You want to know a great illustration here? Proclaimed among the nations. You want to see, you know, don't you ever wonder, well, do I have the right religion? I get this a lot, especially younger people. You know, what about Hinduism or Muslim or all these things? Here's a great way to know that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the truth. And that is this place, proclaimed among the nations. Let me tell you, with other religions, the preaching to the Gentiles is absent. No one's let in out there. I went to India, the Hindus. I went to a 3,000-year-old temple with thousands of idols they bow to. I talked to the priests, told them who I was, a foreigner. Not one of them asked me about my soul. I tell you what, a foreigner comes in here, we get on that subject really fast. I've been around Muslims, not one of them have ever tried to convert me. Not one of them asked me to turn to their God. None of them. Only Christians proclaim the gospel all over the world. I don't see any other proclamation. I see people coming to their religion by gunpoint or a sword, but not by proclamation. This is the mystery of the gospel. Well, it also says here that the mystery was believed on in the world. And I must close here quickly. We got two left. It seems strange that the apostle would list this as a mystery. But it's true. How many times I've been asked by a new convert, someone who's just come to Christ, Pastor, it doesn't take long. It takes like a month. And they come into my office and say, so, why me? Why me? Why did Christ save me? Why not someone else? I feel so blessed. And I'm so wonderfully amazed that I believed and have Jesus. It's a mystery. Why? I am saved and my neighbor isn't. It's because of the grace of God. And it puts me in a place where I am grateful and I don't hold myself higher because I know it's grace and I want my neighbor to have it so bad. It is a mystery that so many are called, but so few are chosen to believe. Yet we see it right here in the first century church that as the gospel is preached to the nations of Israel, it is rejected. The Jews reject it for the most part. Just a sprinkling of them come to faith in Christ. And two of them are Paul and Barnabas. Both priests. And they turn to the Gentiles. And we see the mystery of those believing on Jesus Christ. We find it in Acts, the 13th chapter. It says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold in front of the Jews and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Church, it's amazing that we believe. It's a mystery that men believe at all. The gospel commands the sinner to leave his beloved sins, the thing his heart desires, and deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow Jesus Christ in any suffering that needs to be ordained by God. And yet, the Holy Spirit convinces the poor soul that he must. And if he won't, he must continue in his sin and go with the masses to eternal damnation. We call it hell in the Bible. It's real. If heaven's real, hell's real. Yes, it's a mystery that we have believed and have believed as a child does. I like how children believe. Bo and Stephanie White are great missionaries to us. But I knew him when he was little. And I'm still Uncle Mark to him, and we have no blood relations. But I remember he trusted me exclusively. And he would jump to me from walls and all this. And we were up at camp, and he climbed up on a building. He was 4 years old, 5 years old. And I'm walking by. I didn't even see him. He was so high. He says, Uncle Mark, catch me. And he jumps off of a building. And I'm like, I better catch him. I catch him and woo. Me and I'm like, woo. He goes, yeah, let's do it again. No, let's not do that again. Wow. My goodness, Bo. But we're supposed to do that with Jesus. We're not supposed to come, hey, Jesus, catch me. And he will. He'll catch you. It's a leap of faith. We must come like a child. Well, I must close. It's a mystery. He was taken up in glory. Why would that be a mystery? We see it so much and we just kind of take it for granted. But indeed, this too is a mystery, that life does not stop for our Lord here on earth. He left this world and so will you. This is not our home. We're just a passing through. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. This is our hope in believing in Christ, that we too will join the Lord in glory. There's heaven to be had. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. That is the call of the Christian. And so I call you out. You want heaven? They said that the apostles sat there and Jesus commissioned them to go proclaim the gospel to all the world. And it said that he was lifted up and a cloud took him. And they were gazing. Kind of like us coming out of a restaurant and Jeremiah letting his balloon go. And this family of six is going, whoa. And I mean, it went and went and went. It's a black balloon and some barbecue place. And it just got to a speck. And if you turn your eyes away, you went back, you couldn't find it. And someone had to point it out for you. Oh, yeah, I see it. That's what they were doing. They were all like this. And angels showed up and said, "You men of Galilee, what are you doing? Look it up. He's gone. He's going to come back just like that. Now you go. Proclaim the gospel. He's coming back soon." Oh man, the Lord's so close to coming back. Are you ready?